This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Chapter 21, I'm going to read verses 15 through 17. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." This is God's word. Your love for someone is reflected by your life with them. Your love for someone is reflected by your life with them. Otherwise, it's just words. And I'm reminded of that in the story of this old couple who were married for many years. And they, on their anniversary, decided to go to celebrate their anniversary. It was around the same time as a state fair. And so they decided to celebrate their lifelong commitment to one another by going to the state fair. And while they were there, they were going to all different attractions, and there was this one attraction where there was a small helicopter and a pilot. And the pilot was offering rides two people who wanted. And so the wife said to her husband, she said, "Honey, wouldn't it be so nice if we could go on this helicopter ride together? Wouldn't it be fun?" So they approached the pilot and they asked the pilot, "How much does this cost?" He asked, and the pilot said, "It costs $50. And the husband went, "Honey, $50 is $50. And she said to him, "Oh, but wouldn't it be so nice? We could celebrate this. We could go." And he said, "$50 is $50. And they were going back and forth and back and forth. And he kept saying, "$50 is $50. Well, it got so animated that the frustration was boiling. The pilot said, "You know what? Listen, this is your anniversary. I'll do something special for you. I will let you take the ride for free, with the stipulation that for the whole ride, you will say nothing." And they looked at each other and they said, "Sure." So they get into the helicopter and the pilot takes off and they're going there and he's behind them and they're silent. They're not saying anything. And he thought he'd have a little fun with this. So while they're in the sky, while he's flying around, he decides to take that joystick and make it a little bit interesting. And so he turned to this way, and he turned to that way, and he did up and down and made it a little bumpy and didn't hear a thing. And he was going and turning, and he was going this way and that way, and he got more excited. He kind of became like a little boy and tried to make it as fun as he could. See if he could get them to say something, and they said nothing. Finally, the ride was over. He went down and he landed, and he took his his headset off, and he turned around and he said, "Well, you did it. You didn't say a word." And as he looked, only she was in the helicopter. And he looked and he said, "Where's your husband?" And she said, "Well, we were going around and it was bumpy and his seatbelt got loose and he was going to fall out and I was going to say something, but $50 is $50. You see, your love for someone is determined by how you live for them. You see, Ruth Graham, the wife of Billy Graham, was asked once, "You know, your husband's away for many, many months at a time, and I'm sure it is very difficult, all this frustration." They asked her, "Have you ever considered divorce?" And she looked and she said, "No, I haven't considered divorce, but I have considered murder." You see, your love for someone is determined by how you live, and we know Ruth loved her husband, and they had a great relationship with each other. But this comes to mind when I think of the interaction that Jesus had with Peter. You see, the world's definition, if you read that bulletin that you have, will definitely pull this out. The world's idea of love is, how can you give your best for my desires? That's the world's love. How can you make me happy? How can you give your best for my desires? But the Bible's definition of love is, how can I give my best for God's best in you? The world says, how can you give your best for me? That's how I'm going to love you. And we as believers know, the Bible teaches that love is, how can I give my best for God's best for you? What can I do to ensure that God's best is manifest in your life? That is how we love. And what you see in the scriptures is this very broad idea of love, but it's very practical. And we in the church tend to focus a lot on God's love for us. We tend to hone in on how much God loves us, and we should, amen? We should, because as John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We should hone in on that. But we don't talk too much about the reverse. And that is what Jesus is bringing up to Peter three times. You see, Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times. When Jesus was betrayed, when he was taken into the hands of men, Peter, who was the one who said, "Though all deny you, I shall never deny you," in the moment of temptation, Peter was asked, "Aren't you the one who is following that Jesus who's arrested right now?" And Peter said, "I don't know the man." Second time, "I don't know the man." Third time he was asked, "Aren't you the one who followed that man?" "I don't know the man." Three times he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was overcome with it, that he was filled with sorrow. Well, later Jesus died, he was buried, he was in the tomb. He didn't stay there because God the Father rose him from the dead, raised him up. And Jesus appeared to the disciples on multiple occasions in multiple places. And eventually it came to the point where they were out, if you look in the beginning of John chapter 21, verse 1, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, 'I am going fishing.' They said to him, 'We are going with you also.' They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, 'Children, have you any food?' They answered him, 'No.' And he said to them, 'Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some.' So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of the fish." When did that happen before?
at the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. So no doubt, verse 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, this is John now, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had taken it off, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, and they were dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a coal of fires there, and fish laid on it in bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. Although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. Now, this is the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So Jesus appeared, the disciples came, he said, let's eat. They have breakfast, they're sitting down there, and while they're gathered together, there's an elephant sitting next to them. And the elephant is whispering to everybody present, Peter, you denied Jesus three times. And so, when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these disciples do? The one who is boasting that he would never deny Christ. Do you love me more than these disciples? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Now, just pause there. There is a discussion at the use of the word love in Greek. Sometimes it's agape, sometimes it's phileo. As I looked into this, we should not put too much on this because these words were used interchangeably. So we don't want to focus on that right now. Jesus asked him, do you love me? Peter said, you know I do. Jesus asked him, do you love me? Peter said, you know I do. Then the third time, Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Peter knew what Jesus was getting at. Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And every time Jesus asked that, he followed it with, feed my sheep, tend my lambs, feed my lambs. Jesus is teaching Peter something about what it means to love. And what is the Lord teaching us? The first thing that we see in this passage about love is that, and it's true, God loves us first. I'm just going to give you the highlights here, okay? God loves us first. The second thing that you'll see here is that we love God second. And that's key. And the third is this, that we love others third. So God loves us first, we love God second, and then we love others third. Jesus asking these questions to Peter shows how much Christ loves Peter. Because Peter denied Jesus three times, yet Jesus is showing Peter by these questions how much he loves him, to want to show him that he's willing to forgive and give him a second chance. It reminds me of the verse in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 34, when the Lord said to Simon Peter, said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times. You see, what Jesus is saying is, I foresee that in the moment of trial you will deny me. However, I have prayed for you, Peter. and you will return to me. And when you do, strengthen your brethren. Jesus was telling Peter, I love you. I know that this will be a failure, but I love you. And I care for you. And sitting down over breakfast, Jesus is reiterating that when he says, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? He's telling Peter, I love you. I'm teaching you. I want you to learn and to grow. And what God wants you to know, brothers and sisters, is that before we talk about any form of love that we should have for God, before any of us should talk about any love that we should have for each other, we need the foundation to know that the starting point, the foundation, is that God loves us first. Our love for Him is not possible without His love for us. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 to 10. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. His love for us is the root. Our love for Him is the fruit. If our love for Him is the destination, His love for us is the engine. If you want to grow in your love for the Lord, if you want to grow in your love for others, you harp on, focus on, remember, remind yourself of the fact that God has loved you, the unlovable. God has loved you, the sinner. God has loved you, the one deserving of His judgment and wrath, His love initiated to you while you were yet enemies. It must be first. It must be first. Brothers and sisters, have we come to grips with the fact that we, this little speck of dust in this little era of humanity with nobody and nothing to claim for ourselves, this little speck God has looked upon and said, I love you so much, I am willing to die for you. Have we come to grips with that love? So divine. Love's all excelling. I hope so. Because until then, we will not understand the life He has called us to. First, we love God. God loves us first. Secondly, we love God second. You see, Jesus was teaching Peter, I love you. But then He asked Peter a question. He said, Simon Peter, do you love me? Peter knew that Jesus loved him. Now he's asking him, do you love me? There are a lot of people who are glad that God loves them. And they should be. We should be glad that God loves us. But follow it up and ask that person, do you love God? Imagine if God was sitting here and looked at you, or Jesus was there at the breakfast table with you and you were sitting there and enjoying the breakfast, and Jesus looked at you and said, do you love me? 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 How would you answer? And at that point, you know words don't matter. At that point, you know words don't matter. You can say, yes, Lord, I love you. That doesn't matter. The Lord Jesus Christ is looking at you and asking you, do you love me? What you say is only going to be the shell of what is true in your response. Do you love God? We harp on God's love for us, but it follows up with the greatest commandment, which Jesus said the greatest commandment is to Praise the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, right? The greatest commandment that Jesus taught is to glorify the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, right? The greatest commandment was, you know, rejoice in the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, right? What was the greatest commandment that Jesus taught all his disciples who follow him? The greatest commandment, the chief end of man, is that you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength. So it's pretty important. Do you love God? Do I love God? This involves more than just words. It involves devotion. You see, to love God means that you are devoted to Him, means that you have entrusted your life into His hands and His hands only. That's why the first commandment is, you shall have no other gods before me. You're devoted to me, not to Balaam, or Baal, not to Molech, not to Chemosh, not to Allah, not to Buddha, not to fill in the blank, not to money, not to power, not to possessions. You are devoted to me. That's what love is. I've brought this illustration up before when I heard it at a concert I went to recently. When you're standing before your spouse on the day you're marrying them, you don't give your vows to them and you don't say to them, honey, I love and cherish you 90%. 10% is for me. You don't look at that person standing across from you and that in that wedding day and you look at them and you say, I promise to have and to hold you 95%. 5% I've got someone else I'm interested in having and holding. If you love the Lord, you're devoted to the Lord, you give 100% to the Lord. That's not saying you're standing before the spouse and you say, I commit on my honor to be a perfect person 100 days of my life with you. You commit to be devoted to them, meaning that you and you alone I will love and cherish and hold. Devotion to the Lord means that we give Him the place of our hearts. We give Him the prominence of our pursuits. We give Him our time and our life because we have become devoted to the Lord. Being in a love relationship with God involves devotion. Secondly, it involves submission. It involves submission. John chapter 14, verse 15 to 21 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. What Jesus is saying is, if you love God, you submit to him, you follow him, you obey him. He's not saying you need to keep my commandments in order to be saved. He's not saying you need to keep my commandments in order to be loved by God. He's saying, if you love me, it will show in how you live for me. It makes sense. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. You will submit to me. And brothers and sisters, that's good because the commandments he gives us are for our health and flourishing, spiritually speaking. His commandments to us are for our flourishing in every facet of our lives. So if we disobey His commandments, not loving God, what's going to happen? We are hurt. We are harmed. It's like the time when I was working for the Amish and we did this one job in Mount Horeb. I've shared this. We were asked to replace some rotten boards in the entryway of the hay mound because the boards had gotten rotten. And so we were asked to replace those pieces of plywood. And the owner looked at me and he said, listen, he said, this wood is rotten. Don't step on the wood. Step on the floor joists underneath. And we said, fine. And I was overconfident and did not heed the command of the owner. And we got started. We took our crowbars in there and we were stepping this way and that way and prying this board and up. And I took a step and next thing I know, I was on my back. Looking up, couldn't breathe, hearing someone yelling down, "Alex, are you okay?" I had taken a step onto a rotten board, fallen 8 feet, landed about that far from a concrete curb next to my head on a pile of 1,000-year-old cow manure. Praise God for 1,000-year-old cow manure just to reduce the impact. I did not heed the command. I was hurt. Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commands. Why? Because I love you and I want your good. So you open the Bible and Jesus says, do not hate your enemy, but pray for those who persecute you. That's a command. You don't do it, who's hurt? You. Jesus says, you cannot serve love and mammon, which is money. So if you dedicate your life to serving money, who's hurt? Not God. Except his heart, probably, because your devotion is given to money. But you're hurt. I'm hurt. Submit to God and things will go well and your love for him will grow. It involves devotion, submission, loving God. Thirdly, involves affection. Because love for God should not just be raw duty. When you love your spouse, you're not just, I have to cherish this person. You see, love is more than an emotion. It is a choice. It is a decision. But God has created love to be something that involves our emotion, that involves our affection. And I tell you what, God is happy when you love him affectionately. When you love him affectionately, when you, like the psalmist, can say in Psalm 18, 1 and 2, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, God, my strength in whom I will trust. You will be like the psalmist. God is happy when he hears you say, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Psalm 63, verse 1. As a father delights to know his child freely loves him, so God delights to know you freely love him. Do you have affection for Almighty God, or is it just raw duty? I remember the day I wrote it in my Bible so I won't forget. I've forgotten a lot of memories that I have with my family. You've probably forgotten a lot of memories you had raising kids, amen? Sometimes you write them down. I have a memory where I was in my study having my devotions and I was on the floor kneeling in prayer. And I don't always kneel in prayer. It just happened that time. And while I was there kneeling in prayer, my son came in the door. He opened the door, he came in, and he saw me. And what he did is he came down next to me, and he knelt down, and he folded his hands, and he started praying with me. This was in 2023. And we prayed for a little while, and then he got up, and he left, and he closed the door. And I was there, and I was so happy. And then I heard the door open and he came back in and he ran inside and put his arms around me and gave me a hug. And then he ran back out and closed the door. And I was just so happy as a father. I did not command my son to come inside and kneel next to me in prayer. I did not command him to come and give me I didn't say, thou shalt hug me. And I was there just so happy. And then what happened? The door opened. He ran back inside. He came up. He gave me a kiss on the cheek. He ran out. He closed the door. And the joy that filled my heart was inexpressible. And I think to myself, how much more should Almighty God be filled with joy when his children love him with affection? Do you love him? Will you run into his presence and throw your arms around him and give him a kiss? Or
is it just raw duty? Do you love God? If so, there is devotion, there is submission, and there is affection in your life. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Thirdly, we love others third. You see, God loves us first, we love God second, and we love others third. Because Jesus said to Simon Peter, he said, do you love me? Peter said, yes. He said, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. He said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yes. He said, okay, tend my sheep. Jesus said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yes. Jesus said, okay, tend my lambs. Feed my sheep. What was he saying? If you love me, then take care of my people. Serve my people. If you truly love me, then give your life to serving those that I ask you to. And Simon Peter ended up becoming the kind of the example pastor for the flock that Jesus was instituting in the structure of his church. But I think that the application can go to everyone here, that if you are sitting next to Peter, to Jesus, and Jesus looks to you, and you say, yes, Lord, you know I love you, what is Jesus going to ask you to do? Serve my family. And if you're in this room here today, and you say you love God, but you do not spend a minute serving the body of Christ, there is no love. They shall know we are Christians by our love. The world shall know that I am in you when you love one another, the Bible says. A way in which we know that we love the Lord is how we serve the Lord's people. That means we spend time thinking about how can I help a brother or sister in Christ in their walk with the Lord. That means I take time to pray and say, God, is there a place for me in the functions of the church that I attend on a regular basis? That's how I love them. That's how I love God. That's how I show how much I know that God loves me. We can't all be pastors, we can't all be teachers, but we can all be a member of the body of Christ in some way, serving, even if it means getting on my face before God and praying for my brothers every single day. Feed my sheep if you love me. Jesus taught a parable where he said at the judgment day, I will separate the sheep from the goats. And he will look at the sheep who are his people. And he'll say, come into the kingdom prepared by my Father. And he will say, for I was naked and you clothed me. For I was hungry and you fed me. For I was thirsty and you gave me drink. And the sheep are going to ask him and say, Lord, you were in heaven. What are you talking about? When did we see you naked and clothe you? When did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? And Jesus is going to look at them and say, inasmuch as you did this to one of these, my brethren. This is not social gospel. This is these, my brethren. Inasmuch as you did it to one of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And to the goats, he will say, when you saw them hungry and naked and thirsty, and you did not feed them, clothe them, give them something to drink, you didn't do it to me. I remember when I got saved. I mean, selfishness is present in every heart here today. Amen? I remember God had to root out this deep selfishness. I was a sanctified moocher. You hear me? When I got saved, I was a sanctified moocher. You know what I liked about Christians? They were so generous. Look at this Christian who cares about me and wants me to participate in their activities. They're going to buy me lunch. They're paying my, you know, fare to go and do this activity. And I got into a car accident and all this beloved, dear
faithful believer in Jesus actually managed to get me a car that I didn't have to pay for. And they were not in a wealthy situation. How wonderful. Christians are generous people. I like that. And then I remember the rebuke one day. And I'm not going to tell you the exact nature and context of the rebuke, but in essence, the rebuke was this. You only are a one-way street with people, from them to you. If you truly care about people, then it should be the other way too. And it hit me. And I realized I had to wake up from my millennial, individualistic, self-centered world that I grew up in and realize, wait a minute, the Christian life means I give my time. I give my life to others out of love, for God gave Himself to me.
We must love others out of love for Jesus because of His love for us. Amen? Let's say it again. We must love others because we love Jesus out of His love for us.
And this church and this community needs the example of what it means to have the love of God poured in your hearts, because it's not present out there, but it is in here. And it can overflow to there. Do you love me? Says the Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray, O Lord God, that your love would be afresh in our hearts, that our love for you would be rekindled, and that our love for the body of Christ would be a zeal that you place in us. I pray, Father God, for the one here today who did not realize that you loved them so much to die for their sins. I pray that they would freely receive your gift of love in the salvation of Jesus Christ. They need you. Lord God, I pray that they would call upon your name to be saved. They would turn away from sin, and they would receive the gift of salvation, which is the embodiment of your love. I pray all of us, Father, would be examples of love, would be messengers of love in this loveless, selfish world that you've placed us in. Dear God, may it be holy and pure. May we walk with you in love. Thank you, Father, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.